pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In your bulletin, you have an outline of the sermon. And if you are a regular attendee of here, you will note that this is a much shorter outline for one of my sermons. It's one of those things that I just felt led that we're going to focus on these things in particular. And the theme of this is, the title is Brand New Everything, and the theme of it is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, which says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So far in the last hour of my morning, I have slammed my finger into a podium over at the school. My car wouldn't start, and I couldn't get back over here. I had to hitch a ride with somebody from over at the church. And then when I did get here, my microphone was placed somewhere that I didn't leave it when I left. So here's the deal. I'm preaching to myself this morning. Brand new everything. Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So we probably know, being Christians, what is happening on April 21st, right? Big day, Easter, celebration of the remembrance of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But there are a whole lot of people around the world that are waiting for April 26th. What's going to happen then? The new Avengers movie comes out, and this is a huge deal to a lot of people. Have you seen how much coverage this has got in the media recently? And people are asking all kinds of questions about how this is all going to turn out in this final Avengers movie because of how the previous movie ended. To say that it ended on a cliffhanger is a massive understatement because of what happened in that film. Now, I don't want to spoil anything for anybody today, but I was reading one of the many pieces of media that was written about this movie in USA Today this past week. They printed an article in which they placed betting odds on which superheroes in the next Avengers movie are likely to live and which are likely to die as they face the arch-villain who has destroyed so much of the earth and so many people who live there. And we at the Hemingway House talk a lot about this film and how this is all going to play out. Now, I wish I could say that it's just because my kids that are at a certain age and they're the ones who are really into it, but the truth of the matter is Karen and I have really gotten into this as well. And so we are always talking about which superheroes that we want to live. Man, I really hope that this one makes it, and I hope they don't get rid of this one, and I hope that this one is going to be one of the key ones to defeat the enemy and all of that. And as I think about that whole concept and some of our conversations that we have, it occurs to me that their survival is totally random. And it's at the mercy and the ideas of the filmmakers. You know, it's one of those we kind of cross our fingers and hope for the best situation. And we think, man, I wish I could know the ending right now. I wish I knew what was going to happen in the end and how all of this will play out. And unfortunately, I think a lot of people look at eternal life that way. Man, I hope I'm going to be okay. Cross my fingers and hope that God is merciful and that he'll be nice to me when I meet him. And this text from 2 Corinthians completely demolishes that idea. It said God isn't about crossed fingers and wishes. He is a God who, because of his son on the cross, is a God of certainty and assurance and trust. When you go in for God through his son, Jesus Christ, he is the ultimate spoiler because there is no mystery about how the story of your life turns out for all eternity. He's already told you. You know how your story goes, and it ends with an eternity of awesome things forever and ever. Because his power is so powerful, this is not just a power that's for eternal life. In fact, the power of God is so powerful that it extends from eternity back into this life. And we are called to use that power as we go about our lives right here and right now. And what are we when we believe in Jesus Christ? brand new people. New creations made new and better by him and by his power. See, that's what our God is in the business of doing, making things new. And that's what he wants you and me to know. So while it is good for us at this time of year and always to reflect on our sins and to reflect on our shortcomings, that's not where we're called to reside. We're supposed to go that extra step and reflect and live in the work of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us and the new life, the forgiveness of sins that he has given you and me. See, it is a whole new way of living when you are a whole new creation. Life is completely different now when you've been given a brand new everything. That's what we have in Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So let's go to the outline. First blank, in Christ we are new creations. All right, what does that mean? New creations. I'm already created, aren't I? I'm already made up. I'm already here. How does that change? Well, it means that we are made. Yeah, you got it, Letty. I love it. Bring that celebration up high. That's exactly it. We are made new. We are redesigned. We are refashioned. And we are repurposed and renewed in the image of Jesus Christ. The bad stuff has been taken away and has been replaced with the good stuff of Jesus Christ. And I love that image of the caterpillar shedding its cocoon and turning from this barely mobile, gross-looking worm into this colorful and beautiful new creature that can now fly. Same material, right? Same stuff. But now it's remade, and it's totally new, it's totally different, and that's what Christ does for us when we let him make us new. And that's what he wants to do for us. Let his word and let him be the guiding force in our lives, and let him have a place of importance that is unlike anything else in our lives. And when we do that, we are immediately put into a place where change is happening. And as we let him work in us and on us more and more, it's like that caterpillar and butterfly. We get to that point where we're not even recognizable anymore. The new is so different from the old, and only Jesus Christ can do this. Maybe you've heard this before. I love this story about Martin Luther having a dream one time. He had a dream that Jesus was coming up the walkway to his house. And he looked around his house and he saw what a disaster it was. And there's food everywhere and there's stuff scattered about. And I imagine in his house there were books everywhere as well. And so he started to panic. And he's like, man, I can't have Jesus see my place like this. So he started hurriedly cleaning the place up. Now, you know how dreams are. Apparently in the dream, for every one thing he picked up to clean, five more dirty things immediately appeared there. And finally, Luther resigned himself to the fact that he wasn't going to get the place cleaned up. So he opens up the door and he says, Jesus, come on in if you think that you can come into a dump like this. And as he looked at the house as Jesus was walking in, everything was now immaculate. Everything had been put into place and put into order and was cleaned up. You know, we make such a mess of our lives, don't we? But we make an even bigger mess of our lives when we try and straighten out our lives by our own power. Only Christ can come into our lives and do the things that we need him to do. He makes us immaculate in front of the Father. He cleans up our earthly messes and points us in a new direction, and he shows us a new way to live. He gives us a new reality, and that's what Paul is telling us today. But living in that new reality and everything that he has to offer us is really challenging, isn't it? Because we're not so good at letting him come in and take control of things, are we? We kind of like to pull at the reins ourselves. Bits and pieces are good. We like those things that we like, but maybe not this whole message and the whole picture. What we got to understand about Jesus is that he doesn't want us to listen to him because he wants to exert dominance over us. He doesn't want us to listen to him because he likes to talk. He wants us to listen to him and follow him because he loves us. Following him and following his plan and his design will work out for us. People who have all the power in the universe don't need to display it because they are insecure. He's not. He is doing this out of love and because it works out better for us in our lives when we follow him completely. You know, I've loved getting to know you guys and what college teams that you like to follow, especially at this time of year when the NCAA tournament is going on. And so it's kind of cool to look out and I can start to point, oh, this person roots for the University of Illinois and this person is a Michigan fan. Of course, anytime you bring up Michigan, in order to not have a fist fight break out in the congregation, you have to bring up that somebody else is a rooter for the Ohio State University Buckeyes and this person likes this team and this person is a fan of this team and so on. Well, living where I did growing up, I grew up and still am a fan of, and I root for, the Washington State University Cougars, which at times is incredibly trying because they have a tendency to go through cycles. They will have a cycle of greatness like they had with their football team this past fall. They went 11-2 and finished up 10th in the country in the end-of-season rankings. Had a great year. But we all know, as Wazoo fans, where this goes next. We are about to slide down the mountain into futility before they get good again. Now, they're actually known around the Northwest for their ability to let victory slip away from them when it seems like there is no way of losing. In fact, they do this so often that in the Northwest, they have actually turned this phrase into a verb. And so when something happens where it seems like there is no way of losing, they have given it the name to coug something. In fact, you can look this up online on the Urban Dictionary. It's made it as far as that. And so to coug something means that you snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory. And the Urban Dictionary says this. It says, to coug something is when you lose, when there is no possible way to do so, and you do it in a spectacular manner. And it is true. Oh, man, have we had some tough losses. But I think that that concept doesn't just apply to sports. It applies to us spiritually, too. See, Christ has made our victory over all the troubles of the world a certainty. It's not a wish. It's not a hope. It is a done deal. But how many times do we try and take what he's done for us and spectacularly mess it up? So this text is a call for us to listen to him. Be guided by him. Let him and his power wash over us and make us new. And it is a call for us to stop doing those things that turn his victory into our defeat. See, what he's done for you is miraculous, and it gets better for you the more that you walk with him. He says, you in him are more than conquerors. That's who we are when we let him do his work in us. So your next blank, in Christ we have new realities. I say that a lot in sermons, don't I? What does that mean? Well, it means because of Christ, when I wake up, I have an entirely new way of living. I don't have to wake up and immediately start my day with the idea, okay, God and I are enemies. How am I going to get right with him today before the sun goes down? Christ has already made me right with the Father. Now I just get to do good things because Christ has taken care of my salvation for me. Because of Jesus Christ, my reality is I don't have to live in the misery and the anger that the world is getting so good at selling to us. I know Jesus, and I know that there's a better way than the world has. Because of Christ, when I fall down on the job of living like I'm supposed to or believing like I am called, I don't have to let the burden and the guilt of not living up to the expectations crush me. I can take all of those things back to him and have him take that garbage out and set me on a new path and make me new without that guilt and that burden. That's my reality. In the newness of Jesus Christ, whole new way of living. And the more we walk with him, the better we get at being and cultivating this new creation that he has made us to be. So that means we need to be around the word where those power sources are, word and worship. God bless you for being here today. And in that community where we are around other believers that lift us up. He is not a God of rules. He is a God of grace, and he is a God of making people new. He broke the pattern of the cycle of sin, death, and Satan. That is what he is in the business of doing. And because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, that means that all of those cycles that he broke, in him we have broken as well. And now we get to live in a new way, a way that says that when we are him, we are free, just as he is free from those things. So in Christ, we're new creations. We have new realities. And next blank, we have new opportunities. If the cycle of sin has been broken, and it has been broken, that means that we have new things in front of us to live in. See, it's like when you get sick, or you have a broken leg or something. Or let's say you're being treated for cancer or whatnot. When you are in the middle of that treatment, you have limitations on you, right? When your leg is broken, you cannot do certain things with your body. But as you heal and as you get better and then you get that clean bill of health, what happens? New opportunities. Things you could not do before, now you get to do. And that's the same with our Lord Jesus Christ. He makes us new and opens up a whole new world of opportunities in front of us. So here's the question for us today. Will we let him make us new? Will we open up to him like he calls us to, so that he can really do the work that he wants to do in our lives? Or are we so comfortable in our old selves? Are we comfortable and are things convenient in the shackles that we used to have on us? Do we like running back to those things? Because Christ says, I have miraculous things in mind for you that you can't even imagine if you'll just stop boxing me out. He says we can love and forgive and spread peace and serve and make joy in the world and be patient with others because of what he's done. And you know who benefits the most when you live like the new creation you're called to live like? You. It benefits you in new and miraculous ways. And so that's the call from God today. Live in the newness that he has made for you. You know, there isn't one of us in here who cannot benefit from what he is giving us and what he's offering us, because his gift bag is so deep and so wide and so full of wonderful blessings that we are called to receive those gifts this very day. May God bless that to be so. You know, one of the most frustrating things that happens to me as a pastor is when you see people continually around the Word of God and they refuse to let him change them. They continually box him out. One of the coolest things that I get to see as a pastor is when the change that Paul is talking about here actually happens in the life of somebody. We have a member of our congregation who was in worship last night. And he was on a path that was destructive and most likely to end up with him dead. Gang member. And unfortunately, this is exactly what happened to his cousin and his brother, part of the same gang, and they were both killed. But the Lord got to him. And as he stopped boxing Christ and his will out of his heart, he started to change. Now, how much did he change? You know, a dude is completely different from his old life when one of the primary law officers who used to try and catch him on a regular basis because of the crimes he was committing now works with him as a social network, if you will, to try and convince younger gang members to change their lives. And that's what he does now. This is what happened to Chris. And this past December, it was one of the coolest things. I got to witness even more of this change in his life as I watched him stand in a room with the mayor of Springfield, the chief of police of Springfield, the Sangamon County Sheriff, the state and federal prosecutors, and they were all there to address a group of young incarcerated gang members and tell them that there was a better way for them to live. Chris got up in front of him and said, life isn't all about certain death at a young age and always having to look over your shoulder. There's something better. And when his daughter was murdered, in an unfortunate accident, an incident, the first thing Chris would have done in his old life is figure out how to exact revenge. And he said now what he needed to do was figure out how to forgive. And I was sitting there listening to this just going, wow, this guy is one of the leaders of our new men's ministry here at Trinity Lutheran Church. This is awesome. So where does a change like that come from? We ask Chris sometime, he'll tell you. It comes from Jesus Christ and only Jesus. He's the one who can make that possible. Now, the truth of the matter is, all of us can stand to have some change in our lives. We can all get better at walking with Him. So that's the offer to you this day. What's your struggle? What's your challenge? What's your nemesis? Who is your nemesis? What is your burden? Who do you need to love more? Let Christ make you into an even newer creation today. That's what He wants to do, and that's what He will do if we let Him. So your last blank. In Christ, all things are new. Nothing is too big or too tough for Him to walk you through. You have brand new everything in Him. Let Him do that with you this very day. Amen.